Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 18 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verses 6 and 7, Revelation 9, 6 and 7. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. We're continuing to look at this passage where God is speaking of Judgment Day and the outpouring of his wrath in the form of locusts that come upon the earth with an accompanying 5 months of torment. And we saw in our last study that those days is a phrase that links what is being said here to immediately after the tribulation, according to Mark 13:24. And as we read that men will seek death and shall not find it, we spent some time carefully examining this statement, and we saw it has to do with seeking salvation. And mankind being unable to find it. Now, we're actually gathering more and more verses in which the Bible teaches one characteristic of Judgment Day is that it will be a time in which men seek for salvation and yet cannot find it. They cannot obtain it. It is out of their reach. We saw this in Luke 16 with the rich man who was in hell, in torment, and he desired a drop of water, and that water represented the gospel that could deliver him and bring salvation. We saw this in Luke 13 when the master of the house had risen up and had shut to the door. Then many were attempting to enter in, crying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And yet the door never opened. And we saw this here in Revelation 9:6, that individuals will seek death and not find it. And we also went to John chapter 7, when the context was the Feast of Tabernacles, and in the feast leading up to the last day of the feast, we find language that the Lord Jesus would be with them for a little season, which typified the Great Tribulation period, but then he would leave, and even though they would seek him, they would not find him. This is becoming more of a common theme of the Bible. There's no doubt that the Bible teaches that Judgment Day will be a time when men desire salvation, desire to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and are denied. They cannot obtain it. They cannot gain entry. They are thrust out. And that's what it says in Revelation in chapter 22. In verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." That is indicating that there are people, because people are the ones who commit these sins of sorcery and whoremongering and murder and idolatry and loving and making a lie. People do those things. People are outside the city, the gates of the city. And all that means is that God has saved all who were to be saved, the whole number of those elect whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in salvation, they have gained entry into the kingdom of heaven, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And yet they could still be on earth. And as a matter of fact, they are, because God's people are still here living in the world in the day of judgment. But their citizenship is of that heavenly kingdom. And yet it says without our dogs and so forth, indicating unsaved individuals, they have not made it into the gates, into the city, and they never will now. This is the time when the unsaved have been thrust out into outer darkness. That phrase is used a few times in the New Testament, and it is very appropriate language. It is very apt. It is a vivid illustration of the unsaved people that are living in the world in which God has darkened the sun, the light of the moon, and the stars. And so there is spiritual darkness over all the earth, and that is outside the kingdom of heaven, and that is where the unsaved find themselves, outside the city in darkness, outer darkness, as we read in Matthew 22 of the marriage feast. It says in verse 11, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." And that is the condition of this world. The world has become a place of outer darkness. It is outside the kingdom of heaven, and there is spiritual darkness over the whole earth. And yet men are living physically, and there's still Bibles in the world. And of course, the church is operating as if it's just ordinary circumstances. Everything is normal. And the world itself is operating as though it will continue for thousands of years. And so men are seeking Christ, seeking salvation, as they always have in this world. And yet, in those days when they do seek to identify with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not find it. They may desire to identify with his death, desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Salvation will quickly escape them and depart from them. God is not working with them in any way. Well, let's go on to verse 7 now of Revelation chapter 9. And it says, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men." Now, at this point, God is attempting to describe the locusts, giving a description of them. And of course, the locusts are not literal. This is not a literal description. Obviously, all these things are meant to teach us something, some truth about the locusts, about the character of Judgment Day, and so forth. And so let's just go through this verse as we would any verse. "The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle." Now the word shape is Strong's 3667, and it's translated as similitude in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So the word similitude is the word translated, same Greek word translated as shape in Revelation 9:7. It's also found in Romans 6, verse 5, and there it's translated as likeness. It says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now that helps us to understand this word. It's that which is like, a likeness. And so the shapes of the locust, or the likeness of the locust, this is what they appeared to be. And then it goes on to say, "The likeness of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle." And it's interesting how often we find horses in the picture when God is discussing judgment day. When we read of the day of the wrath of the Lord, we often find that horses are in view. For instance, in Joel chapter 2. And Joel 2 is a parallel passage in many ways to Revelation 9. As far as the locusts going forth, we find an army of God going forth destroying in Joel chapter 2. It says in verse 2, I'll start there, "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them." Now let's look especially here at verse 4. "The appearance of them." Now we could understand that to be the likeness of them, which would match our verse in Revelation 9. "The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run." You know, it's not a coincidence that a little later in the same chapter, in Revelation chapter 9, we read of 200 million horsemen. And let's go there, and I'll read that. In Revelation 9, it says in verse 16, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." And here God is continuing to describe judgment day later on in the chapter of Revelation 9, using the figure of the 200 million horsemen and their horses that breathe fire, smoke, and brimstone. And in Joel 2, "The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run." And it's describing the same thing. It's describing God coming with all of his saints, and that just means he has saved them all, and that fact is what allows God to bring judgment upon the wicked of the world. And he is coming as a man of war to do battle, and so the saints are likened to a great army. And notice here in Joel 2, it says In verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heaven shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and Jehovah shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of Jehovah is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? So we see how this great army and marching in a destructive way against this world, notice how it leads right up to the language of the sun and moon and stars being darkened. No more light of the gospel. That is the primary means of God's judgment on the world. He has removed salvation from this world. He has left the world, abandoned them, just as he did the churches before them. Now let's also go to Revelation 19. And Revelation 19 describes Judgment Day. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about Judgment Day. Yes, the Bible has a lot to say about the love of God and the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and God showed forth those particular attributes of his during the day of salvation. He demonstrated all of these wonderful characteristics of his person. And yet the Bible also speaks of God and his justice and judgment and his wrath and so forth. These also are part of the being of God. They also are his characteristics and attributes that also will find expression and demonstration in the day of judgment. And so we have all kinds of scripture that speak of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And people who don't like hearing this, who would just rather hear of God's love, well, I'm sorry, you'd have to avoid tremendous amounts of written scripture in order to avoid these things. And in Revelation 19, God is speaking of it once again in verse 13. And he was clothed, this is referring to Christ, with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Notice how the armies are following Christ. Christ, a little earlier, was seen seated upon a white horse, and now the armies in heaven follow him. Just like the armies of God in Joel chapter 2. Or the locusts, which really are the army of God. Or like the 200 million horsemen in Revelation 9. It is God's great army that is accomplishing his bidding and following his orders and bringing destruction to the world. And again, spiritually, it is that they have all been saved. That truth is the truth that smites. It's the truth that cuts like a sword, that slays everyone that is unsaved in the world, because there is no more room. There is no more names to be found, no more elect to look for. God has saved all of his people. He has found all the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 9. In verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And as we've been saying, God pictures Judgment Day as a time of battle. Look at Revelation 16 and in verses 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. In many ways, it could be understood that the loosing of Satan, or the rising up of the beast out of the sea, as Satan was given rule in the church and rule in the world in unprecedented way, over the course of the Great Tribulation period, the world was given over to sin. The church became his as God abandoned it and left it to the man of sin. That all of that was preparation for the final battle of Judgment Day, where Satan was gathering his forces and God was gathering his army by saving his elect. And then it is as though once the army of God was completed, then the final battle was underway and the victory was won by the Lord Jesus Christ on that great day of God Almighty. It's the same teaching in Revelation 20 in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Satan was loosed at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, and his period of reigning, where he was given authority to continue 42 months, or spiritually, that means throughout the entire duration of the Great Tribulation period, he was gathering forces like Gog and Magog. And then we read in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 that there is a final battle between Gog and Magog and the Lord God. Now we could read a lot of scripture here, but let's just read in Ezekiel chapter 38. I'll start reading there in verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord Jehovah. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. This is referring to Gog and Magog. And notice again the fire and brimstone. And then verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. Then Ezekiel 39, verse 1, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken, and saith the Lord Jehovah, and I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And the isles is a reference to the continents. And they shall know that I am Jehovah. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am Jehovah, the Holy One in Israel. And it goes on. But again, the language here of Gog and Magog falling upon the mountains and then being given to the ravenous birds matches Revelation 19, where we have the fowls of the air coming to feed upon the enemies of God that are defeated in the battle of Judgment Day, the battle that God won. And yet, in a sense, we can say it continues and will continue until the end of this world, until this prolonged period of judgment is complete and over. But the great victory has already been won by Christ in saving all of the elect. He ransacked the kingdom of Satan and delivered all of the captives. And so that's why we have this language in Revelation 9:7. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now here God helps us. This is another important statement concerning the locusts that help us to confirm, reaffirm once more that they are representative of the true believers. If we go back to Revelation chapter 4, it says in verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, these 24 elders represent 12 elders for the tribes of Israel, 12 elders for the apostles of the Lamb, and that would be spiritually pointing to all of God's elect that were saved in the Old Testament and all of God's elect that are saved in the New Testament, typified by the 24 elders who are wearing crowns of gold. And the crown points to salvation. Now, we don't have much time left in this study, but let's just turn quickly to Proverbs 4. And in verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. The Lord Jesus Christ is identified with wisdom. And then in verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And there we see that wisdom, Christ Jesus is wisdom. He personifies wisdom. Will give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. And that is what the crown of gold typifies, salvation, individuals that are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the locusts have on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Pal Talk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.